Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Picking up the cross to follow Jesus is not exactly one of those warm, fuzzy topics that we like to hear about in church, is it? And yet, picking up the cross is actually the surprising door to radiant life. There is a secret power contained in obeying God, in putting off our own selfish agenda, that produces a joy that cannot be found anywhere else. Find out more about this surprising door to radiant life in a couple minutes right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Last lesson, we were talking about the requirements of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and we found that the true disciple must pick up their cross daily to follow Him. We discussed some of the ways that we are required to pick up the cross and what that looks like in the Western Hemisphere. Many Christians think of picking up their cross as being something that must be done by Christians who live in countries where Christianity is persecuted. But the truth is, all who come after Him must pick up their cross. We're doing a Bible study based on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. If you missed the last lesson, you can type Skies Revival Radio into your search and our website will come right up. There will be previous lessons archived there, which you can access. Or you can get a copy of the book for yourself very inexpensively on Amazon. It's well worth picking up a copy because it's loaded with funny cartoons, if for no other reason. As we continue, we're discussing that picking up our cross in America means enduring criticism without reacting. Here again, our most blessed Savior demonstrated the type of life He desires to see in those who come after Him. He endured with complete quietness of spirit the most cruel and bitter words that could have been thrown against Him, and He expects no less from us. Again, I'd like you to refer to the last lesson, which would be lesson number 38. This example also typifies another type of criticism we will face if we become a true disciple. We actually will be persecuted. It may not be physical death, or it may be, but that persecution could come in the form of cruel jokes or unfair treatment, or it could literally be bodily harm. From the smallest criticism to the greatest physical torture, our God wants us to endure without retaliation, even in the heart. Consider this passage in Hebrews 12. For consider Him who endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. The secret to doing this is found in the same scripture. It says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. God has established a fail-proof mechanism in the universe. It is one of those laws of God, and that is if anyone silently endures mistreatment, God himself will turn the ultimate outcome to that person's good and also miraculously strengthen them during the trial. It says in the 31st Psalm, "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast stored up for those who fear thee, which thou hast wrought for those who take refuge in thee. Thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues." That's Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. It is truly a marvel to see how God comes to our aid when we, following his example, are silent before our accusers. A supernatural peace comes over us, and we know we have his approval. That peace is the secret place that David is referring to. It is real. It fills us. And it even brings us joy. This is something that cannot ever be experienced until we actually obey Jesus' command to pick up our cross. Why don't you try that for yourself this week and see what happens? Next time you're accused of something or belittled, instead of reacting, responding, defending yourself, standing up for yourself, just be quiet, just be silent. And enter into the secret place of God's presence and endure it silently and see what God does for you. Abandon the counsel of the world, which demands that we stand up for ourselves and argues, if you don't stand up for your rights, no one else will. That is completely untrue. If we don't stand up for ourselves, God will stand up for us. Go completely against the grain of every self-assertiveness seminar and follow Jesus. Be silent. You will be amazed by what happens. God will suddenly become your defender because he will be on your side. This wonderful principle works whether you simply don't react next time a family member criticizes you, or you bear up under persecution. God will hide you in the shelter of his presence from the strife of tongues. That is, from the criticism, from the words that other people speak against you. Following Jesus in real obedience, picking up the cross, is the surprising door to radiant life. It is contrary to all teaching about putting yourself first. As we lay down our life, we will gain it. We're going to continue on now in our study of the Narrow Gate book. We're going into lesson 21 now, which is about taking up our cross daily and how much is your soul worth? So far, we have covered two areas of picking up our cross to follow Jesus. The first was to follow him in spite of persecution. This could be anything from open confrontation to pressure from those around us not to become fanatical. Most often, it is the people closest to us that become the means of hindering our forward progress in the things of God. It will be family members and friends who will become the most vocal in their opposition to your new radical step of following Jesus, of having personal revival. I have witnessed over the years many occasions where a young person is engaged in a lifestyle of complete corruption. Parties, drugs, drunkenness, immorality, staying out all night. The parents are concerned, but they do not go as far as to intervene. They rationalize, It's just a phase, and we were the same when we were young. But if a new element is introduced and the young person is led into a living relationship with God, suddenly the parents take notice. Immediately, they're very much involved with the safety of their child. Where it would have been fine to stay out all night with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, now it is completely unacceptable to go to a prayer meeting. The parents' concern about their child becoming a fanatic is overwhelming. The prince of the power of the air, that is, the devil, will do anything to stop you from becoming a child of God. But if you do become a child of God, he will do everything to hinder you from moving on, moving closer to God, growing in your knowledge, and especially in obedience to God's word. You must be prepared to fight for your soul. If you decide to follow Jesus with your whole heart, you will get opposition from the most unexpected sources. Friends who never cared one bit about you will now be overly protective, trying to make it seem as if it were for your own good to abandon your new love for God. Be on guard and don't be put off. It costs something to follow our loving Savior. In many nations, the cost of following Jesus is literally the loss of your family, and in many cases, the loss of your life. Yet, young people still make the commitment. Why? Because their eternal soul is worth the price. How much is your soul worth? The second area we covered was picking up our cross in relation to other people. This involves the daily practice of laying aside our own concerns and pleasures for the sake of others. Jesus, again, turned the whole world upside down when he gave us his words, "The greatest among you will be the servant of all." That's in Mark 10:43. With these words, he demonstrated our need to enter into a servant mentality. A servant is always concerned with pleasing the master. That is what they do. That's their job. If their master tells them to take care of some guests of his, they do so without any questions. The servant doesn't ask whether the guests are worthy of his care, nor does he suggest that he could be better employed elsewhere. He simply does his duty to his master. In the same way, if we would become great in the kingdom of God, the road lies in the path of servanthood. Whoever God brings to you during the day is the one he wants you to take care of. No questions, just service. Some may seem unworthy of the attention, but who are we to decide what the master would have us to do? To have the heart of a servant prepares us perfectly to do his will, fulfilling the spirit of the law, not just the letter. We can then serve others with a good attitude, not in a grudging way. I would actually like to go even beyond the concept of being a servant and encourage us to think in terms of being his slaves. As a servant, we might consider ourselves to have some rights as part of the household, but as slaves, we do not even consider having any rights at all. A servant will do well and be approved by God, but a slave will find himself or herself great in the kingdom of God. Remember, it is he who is the greatest servant who is closest to following the great servant. As with the situation of bearing people's criticism, we find servanthood and even more slavehood to be rewarded in the same way. the God of all peace will come to you and make his home with you, and you will have a supernatural comfort that no one else can even comprehend. So servanthood is also the surprising door to radiant life. That supernatural peace which God grants to his beloved is what prompted the great missionary Amy Carmichael to claim that the cross is the attraction. What she meant by this was that the very real sense of God's approval and his intimate fellowship so outweighed the pleasures of the world that picking up the cross of Christ becomes the most attractive thing we can do. She made it a stipulation that no one could join the ranks of her mission outpost unless they clearly understood this principle. They had to do as Paul did: count all things as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. That's Philippians 3:4. Once that barrier is taken down, we can do everything that God may require of us. And what exactly is the barrier? The barrier is holding to our own agenda. It is holding on to our pleasures. It's holding on to our earthly security. It's holding on to our own reputation. It's holding on to people's good opinion of us. It's the unwillingness to look like a fool for the cause of Christ. These are the things that slow us down. In fact, these are the things that prevent us from serving the Lord, from following after him, from being effective for the kingdom of God. We are bound by our own agenda. We're bound to our own earthly pleasures. We're bound to our security. Are you kidding? Leave behind our earthly security and our bank account and our retirement in order to serve Christ? We can't do it. We're unwilling to do it. So many missionaries are stopped right there. They're not willing to lay down their earthly security. But the hardest one of all is to lay down our reputation and people's good opinion of us. We might get past all the other things, but when it comes to looking like a fool for Christ, we're just unwilling to do it. And yet, it is something God requires of us all. This is the cross of Christ, that we would be willing to take ridicule for his name, to be mocked, even to be greatly slandered for his name. This is the cost. And Jesus passed every one of these tests. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's Philippians 2:7-8. His joy was the intimacy he shared with his Father, and his reward was, Philippians 2:9, therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow to those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. So we have a great reward. We have the reward of God's close presence. Whenever we pick up the cross, whenever we're silent when we're accused, whenever we lay down our security to follow him, we have the immediate reward of God's approval and his close presence. But it doesn't stop there. For those who lose their life for his sake will find it. and not just a little bit of life, because Paul says, the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has prepared an immense reward for those who would pick up their cross to follow him. Are you willing? Are you willing to follow after Jesus? Are you willing to lay down your pleasures so you can serve him? Are you willing to lay down your reputation to be known as a servant of Jesus? Consider these things and pray. Come before the Lord this afternoon. Spend time before him and become fully committed to serving him no matter what the cost. This is a true disciple of Jesus. God bless you. We look forward to joining with you next lesson. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.